Wait, you were saying something about bong hits in college? Did it get you anywhere?
About what?
Bong hits in college didn't get you anywhere?
You know, it helped develop some artwork, but really...
I was going to say, that gets me far. But when it gets to be like the 2 month mark, there's like this peak where you smoke weed, you know, you're doing bong, and you get creative, and I get all this work done, at least for myself. And then all of a sudden, at night I start falling asleep with the bong in my arms. Like it's a baby. And Amy has pictures of me.
I have a picture of
me. She finally had to show me. Maybe you have a problem, Shane. She shows her, like, clutching the bong and the bag of weed in my arms like I'm loving it.
For us anymore, it's just kind of become something that, you know, it's really kind of an occasional thing. It's nothing that's...
For me, if I had the money, I don't know if there would be one day that I wouldn't drink wine and take mushrooms.
Wow.
In my existence, I really enjoy that. I just have the phone on my mushrooms. I just start giggling at people. It's really wonderful.
I had a stint with a couple times. I did some mushrooms. You know, get in college, then sweet.
What?
Those are my hot wings. Yeah, then once we did it together, and after that, I haven't done it since.
I have to sleep at some point.
Well, this is kind of a crazy deal.
I don't sleep much.
We don't these days, and it's really starting to affect me. Having
issues
with it.
I don't sleep. I sleep 3 hours a day. Amy needs her sleep. Or she gets bitchy.
Oh, yeah.
Well, you know, come on. You're not bad, ever, but... You get aggressive, you don't like it, and you can't think right, and it pisses you off. She can't think straight.
Yeah.
And that's what pisses her off. It's not anything else. It's just like,
that's my biggest
issue. She needs to get 6 hours to have her shit together.
Mm-hmm. I can go a couple days with less, but then it starts to wear on me.
Yeah.
Yeah, you can go a couple days with less if you're by yourself in your office. You know, solo. You can go a couple days with less with anyone around.
Oh, really? Funny.
Yeah, these are good.
Are they?
So how many children do you have?
Yeah, with Storm and the Dark Queen should introduce yourselves real quick and say your website.
I'm Storm. I own Art on You Studios. I'm also a tattoo artist and manager over at Attitude Tattoo in Salt Lake City. My web address is www.artonyou.com. You can also visit me on MySpace, and please do add me on as a friend. I'm at www.myspace.com/artonyou.
My name is Renee, a.k.a. The Dark Queen. I do t-shirt reconstruction for women, heavy metal, horror, and dark apparel. I sell it on eBay as well as the Red Room Shop in Salt Lake City, 4901 South State, Unit G. And my website is www.the-dark-queen.com. I'm also on MySpace. What is my MySpace? I can't remember my MySpace.
Your MySpace is www.myspace.com/thedarkqueen with underscores in between.
Underscores, right.
Yes.
Okay.
You know, really, websites are no longer needed in this day and age. Everyone's on MySpace.
Everyone is.
Your website is really secondary.
Oh, yeah. I can't agree more. MySpace has become probably my primary outlet for advertising, marketing. Anytime I want to let people know about an event locally, you know, for example, the 666Z party that we're throwing here in Salt Lake, letting everybody know that's where I've had the biggest response as well as the biggest outlet.
Well, Amy was asking you a question. What was that question about the children? What about the children?
Children. I guess, I'm very serious, but I guess the only way I can do this is kind of a joke. I went on the InstaFam program. I married Renee, and I instantly had three daughters. So I have three stepdaughters. They're 17, 11, almost 12, and 8 now. And we have Samantha, Alexis, and Chloe. Alexis is our genius child that just got the presidential award for academic achievement.
We just met Alexis last night at the Red Room.
Oh what? No, that was Kim's
oh,
daughter.
Oh yeah, that's Kim's daughter.
Jay. Yeah, we didn't have our kids.
Yeah, we didn't have our kids there.
Kim, Jason.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah.
Which one? It's Jason's daughter, right?
Yes, that's correct. Yeah. He picked her up from school on the way to.
Okay, I'm just
on the way to being there.
She's awesome, kid.
Oh yeah, she is.
Yeah, she's cute.
So that's cool to know there's two Lexuses or whatever that are genius, is what I was saying. I'm shocked that there's two with the same name that are so smart in the same area.
Well, and the same social circle.
Yeah.
Freaky Mormon tricks.
Yeah. It's like we're not Mormons.
Right. Far from it.
Yeah.
But Jason Jason was an ex-Mormon.
Were your families Mormons?
No.
No.
That's why my mom moved away from Salt Lake.
I was raised Catholic from day one. The whole baptized, went through CCD and First Communion, went through CYO classes, and eventually, quote-unquote, confirmed my faith in the Catholic Church. However, I was also that same guy that was in the back room for my last confession just before confirmation. Talking to the priest, I said, you know, I just don't know if this whole Jesus, God, supernatural thing is all for real. I mean, I've been in some biology and science classes and physics and whatnot. Man, this shit just doesn't jive.
Boy, when I went to confession, I used to lie about certain stuff. Because I didn't want to ever admit what I really did, because I felt like they turned me in. And then there was sometimes that there was nothing going on. So I wanted to lie just because I didn't think he'd believe me. Like, I didn't do anything that week. I don't think that you'd, you know. But I would lie all the time in confession. You know.
I was a typical teenager, but I was also the one that was probably a little too honest with the priest all the time, holding up the line, all my friends coming up and smacking me on the backside of my head because I'm a little too honest about all the activity I was doing. I was the one who went ahead and admitted, yeah, I was stealing beer out of Dad's fridge. Yeah, I am doinking my girlfriend, you know. So I was constantly getting lectured by the priest.
Well, between Catholic school and regular school, Catholic school is always worse. There'd be people drinking on the side of the building, kids sneaking drinks.
Oh, yeah.
Girls letting your fucking finger in at the side of the building or whatever. And in regular school, it wasn't like that so much.
Oh, yeah. We stole beer from the nuns out of the basement. We skipped out of CYO class one Sunday night. Go downstairs. We knew where the nuns kept the beer and took their beer and went outside drinking beer outside the church.
I used to steal the money from the nuns. They had these soda pop machines, and they'd all voluntarily put their money in, and there was like a big jug there. And I'd go in there and take a little money out of time. And I eventually got greedy and took all of it or something, and then they had a big lockbox on there and shit. So one of my great memories. Yeah, I hated Catholic school, though. I used to always have to stand in the corner in the nun's office, the head nun, and sometimes even on beans. They'd make you kneel on beans.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, I had a teacher that would lock me in the bathroom because I was too unruly. So,
I didn't actually go.
I had quite a time in Catholic school.
Oh, yeah. See, I didn't actually go to a true Catholic school. I just, you know, attended the Catholic Church and that kind of thing. And then for a few years into college, I was kind of the stereotypical Catholic where I'd go to the midnight mass and, you know, on Christmas Eve and maybe hit Easter and Mother's Day to make Mom happy. But otherwise, when I was going, I pretty much followed the old lady in the front. Oh, it's time to kneel. Sit, stand, kneel, sit, stand, kneel. Kneel, sit, stand, go get my communion, come back, I'm out.
Wow. How old are you?
I'm 32. As of May 2nd.
My birthday's May 4th.
Oh, cool. You're a Taurus.
Mm-hmm. That's crazy. So how'd you make the switch over from that to, you know, what you're into now?
Really, it was kind of by accident. I've always been a fan of, I guess, the darker forces of human nature and that kind of thing, and by chance it just kind of run on to LeVay's philosophies and was reading his works, and really, I guess it just sort of gave a name to the way I'd already felt, the way I'd already lived, the ideas that I already had, it just sort of gave a name to it. So yeah, I don't think that it was a major transition, or especially I guess living in an area like Salt Lake, where it wasn't as though a missionary come to my door and sort of showing me the light, or in this case, I guess if you want to say, showing me the dark. It wasn't anything like that. It was just, you know, I'd kind of come across philosophy. So now when I say, you know, that I'm a left-hand path follower, that's really, you know, I guess it just gives a name to my philosophy of life and a lot of what influenced my artwork.
What about you, Renee? Did you
grab What happened? You're going, now do you go to, but really, let's stick on that question. Do you still go to Midnight Mass for your mom, or do you go to Easter for your mom?
No, I do not. My parents are miles and miles away. I mean, like, not that far. They're still north, and we never make that connection with them. I don't see them on Mother's Day. I see my mom on Mother's Day. And if we're up there for Christmas, it's more to tip back a beer and open some presents and just enjoy my time with my parents.
Amy loves Christmas. One of her favorite holidays is Christmas. As long as she can buy as many gifts as she wants from other people.
Exactly.
She loves Christmas. She doesn't like getting stuff. Really, she loves to give stuff.
It's fun.
That's how she is. But for me, I hate it. You know, from December 1st to January 1st, I'd take mushrooms and drink wine.
You're not a big fan of Christmas either.
I don't like Christmas.
Yeah, I'd rather just take mushrooms, drink wine.
It's too materialistic, and, you know, kids these days have just really lost sight of what it's supposed to be about.
If it were really good materialistic, like something good, it's... Oh, here, I got you this. And you're like, I got three of them in the fucking cabinet. It's really filled a landfill bag. Because you get a bunch of shit.
Yeah.
Here's a deck of Uno cards.
Yeah.
What a fucking Uno. Put the Uno through the side of your head.
Yeah.
I don't want Uno. Give me a $5 off. If that's the case.
Yeah.
But
exactly.
Trade money.
Yeah, everybody gets people, like, they get each other junk.
Then you know if you've been good or bad. Okay? Because then, well, I gave out $300, but I got four. So I'm doing good.
I think I like the gifts that we get from our friends like Jen and Knox over at Attitude when we exchange bottles of Jaeger for Christmas. I think those are great gifts.
Yeah.
I know you're more on the line of how about exchanging bottles of Crown for Christmas. But
well, no, idea. I would just want, I don't want anything. I would rather exchange a conversation with friends over a bottle of Jaeger to drink it up together and have a memory
that
I can take with me. I don't want the bottle of Jaeger. I want someone that's willing to come over on a Tuesday in the middle of March and drink a bottle of Jaeger when it's hard for me to pay my bills, when things are lean, when I can use someone to talk to and fucking drink something. I don't need 30 people at my doorstep on Christmas Eve going, here's something. Where were you June 7th when I was ass raped by three black guys? You know, or, you know, not that it happened.
Right, right.
I should have recorded that. Someone will sample that.
I will.
You know, yeah, exactly. I mean, on our show. When I was, yeah, exactly. She'll loop me back when I was ass raped.
This is going to be our power of whole hour of shame about me.
Kill ya. Oh, you're a jerk. Well, that's what I want. That's right. What I tell my mom. That's all I care about, my family. Don't bother calling me. Call me on Monday in the middle of the month when not everyone, I'd rather get a phone call from a friend than I hate. It's insincere.
Right.
What you're saying about
it
materialistic.
Is.
It's very insincere, though.
It is.
Like,
it is.
Here's this. You always wanted one, right? And you're like, no, I hate fucking that cheese.
No, I don't want something that somebody ran to fucking Walmart for, you know, Christmas Eve right before they closed at 8 o'clock and just said, here's a fucking bath set. What the hell am I going to do with this?
Gifts.
I have 10 of these, you know?
Amy's finally coming to my way. Where we give gifts mid-March. Mm-hmm. We'll send her mom a new coffee pot or something. You know, and so on date that she's not expecting it. So it cheers her up. And so that's when we send gifts out. And at Christmas, we really don't do that anymore. We send out gifts throughout the year. When Amy sees something, she goes, my dad would love that. We got $20. We buy it, wraps it up, gives it to him. Yeah, what the fuck is this for? It's Tuesday day, or whatever.
Renee's kind of like that, but It's more along the lines of she'll see it, she'll buy it, put it away, and hopefully we can find it come Christmas time, because she's been buying it up since March. You know, St. Patrick's Day, she started buying Christmas gifts for the following year.
How long have you
been
married?
That's an exaggeration.
It'll be 3 years this Halloween.
You know, we almost been married 10 years. And we finally got everything set up. The car's set up the perfect way. We're not really losing things. Any of the keys are in the same spot. So, maybe someday.
We have kids. That's the problem.
Oh, yeah. We've that's a nightmare.
We've got like four or five different hiding spots all throughout the house. So,
I sympathize with you there.
So how did you
I'm too greedy to have a kid. That's really what it comes down to. And if we had kids, we'd have to live in two different houses.
Yeah.
But first, I don't think any kids should be around me when I get really angry.
Oh,
motherfucker breaking stuff. They don't need that.
Yeah.
And, you know, I would just, you know, then I would just leave the house. They could see me. So that's, you know, it's best.
Yeah, yeah.
What did you ask, Amy?
I asked Renee how she grew up. Like, how come you don't like Christmas? What kind of religious type stuff?
I have no religious background, period.
Oh, really?
It was my mom and my older sister and I, and that's it.
That's all Amy is.
That's it. I had no grandparents, nobody, just the three of us. And my mom struggled and did the best she could and gave me everything she could, and that was that. And she pretty much, when I got to be, we moved out here when I was 8, and so when I got to be older in junior high, kind of thing, early junior high, I had friends, of course, that were LDS because I didn't know any better. And, I started questioning, and my mom was just saying, if that's what you want to do, then go ahead and go for it, You want to go to church? Go to church. I'm not going to stop you. So I went to church a couple of times with a couple of friends of mine, and it just did not appeal to me.
Well, why would it? It's so boring.
Yeah. That's what it was.
What year that Radio Free Satan scene? We have a comic that starts it off. And it's a thing called Fuck Your God. And he talks about it and goes, the only reason people are in the religion is because it's drilled into their head since their fucking head was soft. Because if you're an adult, you go pick up the Bible. Oh, yeah, you're going to take it home and go, this is great reading. This is a great philosophy. Perfect logic. He goes, no one would believe that if they got that as an adult.
Mm-hmm.
No, of course not. Well, moreover, it's controlling. It controls their lives. It sets out a bunch of rules that you look at and you think, why would I want to follow these rules? I have no leeway for self-gratification. And that's the sad part about, between that and I think that, organized religion does nothing but instigate wars.
You do have leeway, though. You have confession.
Oh, well, yeah.
They just control you with guilt. Give you leeway to go commit sins because, as we all know from the bumper sticker, they are forgiven.
Yeah. Yeah.
So they can rape their kids.
Which I think
they can play finger diddle with their daughters, go to church, say they're sorry, feel bad about it, and they're forgiven.
Exactly. I think it's a big cop-out, really.
Yeah, it is. So it's the ultimate leeway.
You can be a murderer, blah, blah. I mean, even in the scene, if you saw Passion of the Christ, you had the criminals right up on the cross, the one, basically said, screw you, Jesus, and you saw the dark spirits come and take away, and the other one said, I want you to forgive me, I've been a murderer, I've been a thief, I've been horrible, but the last second, just before his death, he can confess, and he's forgiven, and he goes to heaven. Mm-hmm. And I think that's a giant cop-out.
I
mean, if you're a good person, you're a good person. That's who you are your entire life.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's the case in purgatory and all of that stuff. They wouldn't be taught. That wouldn't even figure in if everyone's forgiven.
Yeah.
It's like so many contradictory things about religion. It doesn't make much sense.
Mm-hmm. Well, with all that kind of stuff, everyone has their take on it. But what you were saying is I think they have the ultimate leeway. Is that with being all that forgiven shit, they always get away with it. That's why all the criminals in jail turn to God, They feel, then all these people will forgive them. They can get some money from their grandma. Well, grandma turned to Christ, just forgive them or whatever for murdering 13 people.
And if you're a part of the LDS religion, then
Latter-day Saints.
Right. They expect 15% of your income. The way I look at it is I work damn hard for my money. I'm not giving my money to anybody. So,
what do they offer?
A four-hour, what is it called? What is
four-hour mass?
It's, no, well, they don't call it mass. They call it something else. I don't know what they call it, but it's called a...
Do they offer this great think tank where they send people to the moon, or cure diseases, or have these great philosophies that are working?
No, they offer
changing
you,
the world.
They offer you a spot in the celestial kingdom.
Yeah.
If you reproduce enough.
That's crazy.
Well, but really, Storm, what happened?
Mm-hmm.
What happened from, you know, doing the thing you said, like going to midnight mass and all this? Made me ask that. Really, there has to be a trigger at some point or something you pick up. And
I don't. Maybe it was from being in an area like this where you're full of religious zealots that are constantly, you know, bombarding you.
You
can't
remember the day though that you like, or the book you picked up and read it, and you're like, man, this is it. For me, I was reading Midas Wright. A Nazi sent it to me. A skinhead. They said, this is our Bible. And Amy gave me a satanic Bible. I said, you should read this. This is how you live your life. Right? I read it. I'm reading this at the same time. It's the same book. Close. And I'm shocked. I told Amy, it's the same book. She goes, no, everyone rips off the bag. I'm, no, this is from the 1800s. And she's like, damn. And it was cool that she didn't know about that. I didn't know about anything. You know, it was all really new information. And when I read that, I was like, oh, this is really something that is right up my way. I finally have a belief before I went to Catholic school. I never believed any of that shit anyway.
Yeah.
I did, because they told me it was right. But I obviously got kicked out of 2 Catholic schools. You know, I wasn't really keeping up with things then. And I really like Midas Wright and that whole philosophy. It's a hard one to swallow, though. When you read that book, you get picked on. You know, you feel bad about yourself because there's no way you can live up to the standards of Redbeard. I've never met anyone.
He hates everybody.
I don't know. I think for me it's kind of a combination of things. And I don't want to sound real stereotypical, but looking at the other people that have achieved so much and have changed their lives a certain way, people like Rob Zombie or Marilyn Manson or you know, or some of my favorite artists, like Coop is one of my favorite artists, has been for a long time, or in the tattoo world, Paul Boot from Last Rites Tattoo in New York. And all of them, you know, can attribute to having read the Satanic Bible. And I don't want to sound like a plethora of other people that you've probably interviewed, but yeah, having picked up that book, it seemed like from beginning to end, it just made sense. Everything clicked. It really was.
I think that's what happened with Amy. She had,
you know, for like a lot of people. Yeah, it changed. You know, everything. I thought, wow, you know, this is the way I've always lived. This is the way I've always thought. And it just made sense. And now I use it often as, you know, an inspiration for a lot of my artwork that I produce. I use that philosophy, that thought, to produce a lot of my artwork now.
That's awesome.
It is awesome. I love it. Wouldn't have it any other way.
Do you find you meet a lot of people around here that are into anything that you're into, even with philosophy or anything?
I do, ironically. There's quite a lot of an underground movement or, you know, ideas, people that think along the same format, and especially like maybe it's the time of the year right now with, you know, June 6th coming up, but I have been making even more connections with those people, and I even find some of them through the Red Rum Shop, you know, having our artwork down there and Renee's apparel down there. We're finding a lot of people that are asking us, you know, do you have that type of apparel? Do you have some Cannibal Corpse out? Do you have, you know, the sigil on the shirt down there? Do you have, you know, an Anton LaVey clock down there? Yes, we have all of that, you know, available. And these are people that are local. You know, it's not someone that's living out somewhere strange in Montana somewhere or in the heart of L.A. It's local people here in Salt Lake City.
In Salt Lake, though, it seems to be that there's the group of people that are very, very religious. They're, you know, extreme LDS Mormons. And then there's us. You know, it's not really like there's any kind of gray area in between. I mean, you're either really into the church or you're really against the church.
I was talking to someone yesterday about just that. It was him, and I was saying it's like the swing of the pendulum.
Mm-hmm.
Because it swings so far over to, you know, this conservative, you know, religious fanaticism that it's naturally going to swing that far over to the other side, too, you know?
Yeah.
So, I think that has a lot to do with it. It's like that, you know, oppressive religion breeds the exact opposite a lot of times.
Right. It does. Right. It really does. I think that's a lot of where you see, you know, the extreme goth scene that we have here. And we have the, you know, one of the largest dark arts festivals in the country that happens here. And, like I said, you know, with our party coming up, the response that we've been getting is unbelievable. People that are making their own flyers, their own posters, and putting
crawling
them up
out of the woodwork, it's nuts.
Yeah. People that just want, you know, have been emailing us saying, how can I participate? How can I get involved? You know, can I give away some CDs at this event? You know, what can I do to participate in this event? And so it's really neat to see that coming out.
That's cool.
Well, you know what it is. It has nothing to do with Satan or the number 666. I tell you, there's so many people that hate, that from our generation or like the Gen X generation, so they're all, they don't want to have anything to do with their parents. They don't want to have anything to do with their holidays. So we're all desperately looking to make our own holidays. How many people celebrate 420 now? And they're straight edge. They don't smoke weed.
Yeah.
They don't. They don't care. They don't smoke weed, but they want to go down to the bar and have a drink on 420. Hey, let's get together. It's 420. It's the funniest thing. We're desperately trying to make our own holidays, it seems. There's so many people involved in our 666 event. And if Bob Lee said, well, I'm not a savior. I don't care. We're throwing the gig still, right? Oh, yeah. Well, that's great. Well, it doesn't matter. I didn't tell you anything. I didn't say I'm a savior. I don't say that shit. I don't care.
Oh, I don't either.
But they're all coming together because they're looking for another holiday. They're looking for something that's, you know, unique to us. We don't want, you know, we're really in a, I think, a great time because we're looking to Greek, we're looking to make our own holidays, like they have these Hallmark holidays. But we're looking to do something like fuck the holiday.
Well, I follow a holiday like Easter or Christmas.
Look, the Halloween's the only one we embrace.
It doesn't make any sense if you're not a Christian.
It's even jacks, dude. It's even fucking jacks and stuff. You're going to be like, you know, oil and water. It's weird that they're of the age and they don't want to have anything. You know, they look for their own things too.
Yeah. Yeah, Halloween for us is a major one, obviously, since we were married on that day.
I'm going to do something on 777 next year.
777?
Nice. Nice.
Oh, yeah, we're going to do something. I hope that Ibex drones are on and stuff. We're going to have to do something with great stuff like that. Just the worst of the worst.
God, that might
people
be a good Vegas
crucifixes
gig.
Up their ass.
Yeah, a good Vegas gig. You have the lucky 7. 777?
Yeah.
I love that idea for Vegas for sure. And,
so we get a to go box?
Yeah.
I definitely don't want to have that.
Yeah, it was nice meeting both of you.
Me too.
Yeah.
Thanks for the conversation.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. It's a, like I said, it's truly an honor. I certainly didn't expect that. I just wanted to have an opportunity to actually meet you. And
just wait. Wait till you get to know me. And you're like, that dude still owes me $5.
We'll hunt you down for it, too.
That's right. Most do. You know. Only the really aggressive ones get it.
But no, when Jason first told me that you were coming into town and going to be, you know, coming down to the shop and, you know, releasing your book, you know, a couple days early and that kind of thing, I thought, wow, what an opportunity. But then to have you actually contact me and say, hey, I want to be, you know, part of the gig you got going there for me as a sponsor.
I was coming here, I wanted
I just thought, hey.
That's funny, but no, it's that I just see all your stuff all over the place, so I was a natural. I'm like, hey, I'm going to get all this phone and see what he's doing. Just because you're all over MySpace, you're promoting your stuff, so.
Oh, yeah.
Why come to hang out with people that don't do anything? I like people that do stuff.
Right.
Even if they fail. Yeah. Failure doesn't bother, you know, a lot of people will put people down for failing at a business or something. I don't care. As long as they do stuff.
But yeah, whether you want to use a classic Babe Ruth or even the classic Edison, you know, how many times did they fail before they finally, you know, before Edison finally turned on the light? How many times did, you know, the classic Babe Ruth strike out before he hit all of his home runs? It's absolutely true.
One of the biggest parts of being able to be an entrepreneur or anything is you have to be able to fall on your face and get up and brush yourself off and keep going. Even though it's hard for the ego and the pride a lot of times because you do this in a public way. So when something fails, people are like looking at you like you just slipped on the ice.
Oh, what?
It's embarrassing. You're like, fucking fuck. You got to get up and maybe laugh it off and just keep moving. You know, and you're only as good as your last project, so people will ignore you in between.
Yeah.
And see, you know, here's the new whatever it is, you know.
Well, some of the greatest words of wisdom I had was from another Renee. I mean, another Renee is one of my friends, good friend's mother's, saw me at a point in my life I was really on the, you know, downside of life. Everything seemed to be crumbling around me. I was losing out. And she says to me, she says, you know, it doesn't matter how far you've fallen, but how far you climb back up again. And I mean, it always rang true to me. And, you know, that's true. You're going to have things in your life that happen that bring you down, that crush you, that can be financially crushing, emotionally crushing, physically crushing.
You
know, but it doesn't matter how far down you go.
What was that phrase?
It doesn't matter how far down you fall, but how far you climb back up again.
If you had more time, right at lunch, I bet you we can pen a song and sell it to Whitney Houston. that is the seed.
Our comeback song.
With that as the seed, right there, we can sit here and just start writing the lyrics.
I don't know if Whitney Houston or maybe Eminem might be the one nowadays that you have to hand something
like Whitney,
him.
That's a Whitney Houston lyric.
Yeah.
I haven't heard it. All right.
I'm going to grab it to go box.
But it's true. It's good. You know, it's a good one for sure.
Yeah.
Wow. I'll stop recording. I can't believe it lasted this long. I hope it turns out.